Well, today is the day. We're now closing on our study of the Hebrew letter. We're now closing on the words, coming to a close, the words of what is truly a grand epistle. It's a letter that's been described as beginning like an essay, progressing to a sermon, and then ending like a letter. In this letter, we've noticed systematic arguments upholding the superiority of Jesus Christ, the superiority of the new covenant dedicated by His blood. And in this letter, we've been exhorted to draw nearer to God, to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. We've been exhorted to consider one another and to stir up love and good works, to run with endurance the race that is set before us, to pursue peace with all men and holiness. We've been exhorted to heed the voice of Him who speaks from heaven and to serve God with reverence and godly fear. We've been exhorted to love the brethren, to show hospitality to strangers and to remember the prisoners, to uphold the sanctity of marriage and avoid covetousness, and finally to avoid various and strange doctrines and obeying those who rule over us in the Lord. Now, with these last eight verses, we find a request for prayer in behalf of the author, chapter 13, verses 8 and 19. And then we notice a benediction offered, a prayer offered on his behalf to the readers, verses 20 and 21. And then in verses 22 through 25, we notice a final exhortation, a final comment, and his farewell. I'm suggesting that we call these verses closing words befitting a grand epistle, because they touch upon themes that were developed earlier in this letter and therefore serve as a close worthy of such an epistle as we have studied. Now, as we take this opportunity to reflect upon these closing words, the first thing we're going to observe is the author's request for prayer. Verses 18 and 19, he tells us that one reason for his request is that he is confident of a good conscience, desiring to live honorably. The mention of a good conscience brings to mind several verses, Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. The letter talks about that it's through the blood of Christ that his conscience has been made clear to serve God. And certainly their prayers on his behalf would be for a good purpose. They're to bless a man who has been cleansed by the blood of Christ, to bless a man who desires to live honorably. And another reason for his request is to be restored to them sooner. So he expresses his intention to come and to be with them. And having requested their prayers, the author then turns around and offers a prayer of his own on their behalf. And we see that in verses 20 and 21. He talks about, may the God of peace, a description found in other of Paul's letters, Romans 15, Romans 16, 1 Thessalonians 5, and Philippians 4. And God is the source of peace. And when you notice most of the epistles in the New Testament, the salutations include this phrase or a phrase very similar. In verses 20 and 21, he talks about that this God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead is the only explicit reference to Jesus' resurrection in this letter. And though it's assumed in passages that speak of Christ at the right hand of God, in chapter 1, chapter 4, chapter 9, 10, and 12. And here again, Jesus is described as that great shepherd of the sheep in John 10, verses 11 and 14. But in his benediction or his prayer to them, he asked that God make them complete in every good work to do his will. The writer here wants them to be complete in doing God's work. The author recognizes that they cannot do it on their own and that they're going to need God's help. How will God make them complete in every good work to do his will? Well, the writer suggests that it's through the blood of this everlasting covenant. And this, of course, refers to the blood of Jesus, which is able, according to chapter 9 and verse 14 of this letter, to purge our conscience from dead works. And in verse 15, we read that it's by Jesus who has become the mediator of this new covenant. And then in chapter 10, the writer talks about that by this blood, Jesus has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So it's through the blood of Jesus then that God is able to make us complete in every good work to do His will. But he goes on in his prayer on their behalf to make them complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. Not only are we cleansed by the blood of Jesus, but God works in us to do what pleases Him. This reminds us of Paul's comments in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, that as we work out our salvation, God works in us. And instrumental in God working in us is the role of His Spirit. We are strengthened by God's Spirit in the inner man, Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Romans 8 and verse 13 tells us that it is by the Spirit that we can put to death the deeds of the body. So it's by both the blood of Jesus and the working of the Spirit that we are truly washed, justified, and sanctified. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. It's also what he wrote to the young preacher Titus in chapter 3 in verses 5 through 7. Now, while we are admonished throughout this letter to be steadfast, this closing prayer reminds us that we're not alone. In His grace and mercy, God aids us in our desires and efforts to do His will. And now at last, we notice a final exhortation, a comment and a farewell, beginning in verse 22 through verse 25. In His final exhortation, beginning in verse 22, He said we are to bear with the word of exhortation. This letter has truly been one of exhorting them, the recipients, and we have exhortations recorded here against things like drifting from what they have heard, Hebrews chapter 2. Chapter 3, he talked about departing from the living God. Chapter 4, disobedience to His word. Chapter 5, becoming dull of hearing. And then talking about despising God's grace in chapter 10. And then in chapter 12, defying Him who now speaks from heaven. While at times he has written rather strongly, he encourages these listeners, these readers, to bear with it. While one of the longer letters in the New Testament, it's still written to us, as the writer says, written to you in few words. When you compare it with other writings of the New Testament as well as writings of the church fathers. And then there's a comment in verse 23 about our brother Timothy. Most likely this is who was Paul's constant companion, and evidently just released from prison, and likely to join the author in coming to them. And then in verses 24 and 25, we have his greetings and his farewell. Most of the letters in the New Testament, their greetings would be included at the end of the writing instead of the beginning. The beginning of the letter would tell who it's written to, their salutations, and the greetings, the personal comments would be at the end of the writing. So that's what we have here. So in verses 24 through 25, we have greetings from the author. He says, to all those who rule over you, in other words, the elders, chapter 13, verses 7, and again in chapter verse 17. And then he talks about to all the saints, the rest of the Christians. He points out that his greetings come from those, greetings are from those from Italy. This suggests two possibilities. Either the author was writing from Italy, being in prison, passing along greetings from those who were present with him, or the author was writing to people in Italy, sending greetings from those with him wherever he was at. And then it's just a simple farewell. Grace be with you all. Amen. And so this ends the word of exhortation, that grand epistle known simply as the Epistle to the Hebrews. Now, though it's written to Jewish Christians with their particular need in mind, this book, this letter, is of great value to all Christians, even Christians today, because it tells us more about the intercessory work of our Lord as High Priest than any other book in the New Testament. It gives warnings and exhortations that are needed just as much today by Christians who are being tempted to leave Christ and go back into the world. Especially with the words that we find in chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. The Hebrew writer here, if you'll remember, says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." My prayer is that our study of this letter has been beneficial to everyone, and that it serves the same purpose as it did when the letter was written, to encourage all of us to draw near to God and to hold fast to the hope that we confess, as well as to stir up love and good works. Now I realize this has been a lengthy study, 13 chapters out of the book of Hebrews, but it may be the only time that some of us, whether listeners or whatever, may have ever studied the book of Hebrews. And I appreciate your kind comments, those that speak about these radio program. I hear from a few of you, and several of you talk about how much you appreciate the study that we have. I hear through second and third hand comments that many of you listen, and I do appreciate it. It's a great, big encouragement to me that to know that several of you do listen, and I appreciate it very much. It lets us know that we're serving a good purpose here by having this radio program. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can go to the church's website. That's church@eastside.com. Yeah, there'll be a column on the right-hand side for sermons. Scroll down and you can listen to this lesson, any other lesson from this study. You can listen to sermons that are preached at the Eastside Church of Christ. You can visit with us. We'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship service, again this evening at 5 p.m. for another period of worship, and then we'll have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Our Bible studies on Sunday morning, we will begin the book of Acts this morning, the New Testament's history book, if you will. And then on Wednesday nights, we're studying 1 Samuel, where Israel has just demanded a king and Saul has been anointed as that first king. Again, if you'd like to discuss this with me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. That's djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can listen to this lesson again at the church's website, church@eastside.com. Or you're welcome to visit with us, and we'll discuss this lesson or any other questions that you might have. Just as I've asked in the past, bring your Bible and be willing to show in Scripture whatever stand you want to take and why you believe what you believe. Again, thank you for joining me.